coming up on KUCB News, public health authorities have taken a step towards allowing cruises to resume in U.S. waters. And it's the final week of Unalaska's virtual Soup Off. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Tuesday, April 6th, 2021. Federal public health authorities have taken a step towards allowing cruises to resume in U.S. waters. But there's still no clear timeline for cruises to resume in Alaska. Some are applauding last Friday's development for cruise ships, but as KRBD's Eric Stone reports, there are others that say the requirements outlined in the new guidance aren't practical for small coastal communities.
The CDC's new guidance clarifies how port communities and cruise lines can work to resume cruising. But the cruise industry says the new rules are unworkable. Cruise Lines International Association says the rules are so murky that, quote, no clear path forward or timetable can be discerned. The trade group known as CLIA is calling on the feds to lift restrictions on cruising this month. But some see the new CDC guidance as a step forward. The agency hasn't given much indication on how cruising should resume since late last year. Ketchikan Visitors Bureau President and CEO Patty Mackey says there are still a lot of unanswered questions.
But I think that at least it's a step in the right direction, and they've identified some key things that that we've all had questions about, particularly the community agreements with the cruise lines.
There are concerns from smaller towns that often host big ships that the CDC's requirements on how to respond to outbreaks just aren't practical. The Alaska Municipal League's Nils Andreasen says coastal communities already have very limited medical facilities if sick passengers or crew had to disembark in an emergency.
I really worry about the capacity of especially our smaller ports to be able to do all the things that are outlined in those in that guidance.
Skagway, for example, doesn't have a hospital or the infrastructure the CDC would require under the new guidance. Mayor Andrew Cremata says a community of around 1,000 people can't provide treatment for megaships with 4 to 5 times that year-round population.
The reality of the situation is I look at that, the CDC's guidelines that came out on Friday, and I'm throwing my hands in the air because we can't do that.
He says he's resigned to the idea that cruises won't return to Skagway in 2021. He says he's instead focused on promoting independent tourism over the summer and hopes cruise ships return next year. Whether cruise lines will return to Alaska this summer remains an open question, but hope appears to be fading. The CDC requires that cruise lines give 30 days notice before operators conduct a simulated voyage intended to test health protocols. The agency requires another 60-day waiting period before they'll grant lines the right to set sail with paying passengers. And, of course, Alaska's international cruise vessels can't sail between the lower 48 and Alaska without a stop in British Columbia. But Canada has closed its ports and waters to cruise ships through at least next spring. A legislative workaround has found broad support from Alaska's elected officials, but has so far gained little traction in Congress. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
Carlin Enlow, director of the Unalaska Visitors Bureau, says it is still possible that Unalaska may see some cruise visitors this summer. She says if any do visit the island, they will likely be on smaller boats. And the Bureau will not know for certain if any will be stopping by until much closer to summertime. The CARES Act, the original COVID-19 relief bill that Congress passed last year, sent a lot of money to Alaska tribes, more than $300 million. Amid pandemic anxiety, the money was a godsend for remote Alaska communities. For tribal administrators, it was also a headache. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports on how Alaska's tribes spent their funds and about the mountain of new cash that's coming at them soon.
Bethel's tribe, a Rutzahachamut Native Council, or ONC, received $14 million from the CARES Act. ONC Executive Director Mark Springer remembers the moment he learned the cash was in the tribe's bank account.
I was sitting at my desk, and my chief accountant, my then chief accountant, came to the door, and he stood in my door, and he had a piece of paper in one hand, and he was clutching his chest in his other.
Of course, Springer and the accountant were elated, but it was a lot of money for a tribe of about 3,500 members. The rules for how it could be spent weren't clear at first, and originally the tribes had less than a year to spend it all. Springer says the deadline pressure was immense.
Oh, yes. There was many a time when people looked right at me and said, Mark, are you going to be able to spend all that money before December 30th?
That was the challenge for tribes all over the country. The government followed a formula to distribute Tribal CARES Act money. 225 Alaska tribal governments received amounts ranging from $100,000 to $20 million. Some tribes didn't get their share until late May. They had to figure out how to use it wisely or lose it. ONC bought a ton of supplies and personal protective equipment and a building to put it in. Springer says ONC still has enough hand sanitizer left to fill a swimming pool. But he says at a time when stores had no Clorox or Pine-Sol, the tribe could provide.
It feels real good when a family would call up and say, hey, you know, we're COVID-19 positive and we need some cleaning supplies and some PPE. And we're like, yeah, we'll be right there.
Like a lot of tribes, ONC distributed the bulk of its CARES Act money to its members, up to $5,000 per household. The spending has to go for pandemic-related needs, so the members filled out applications to document what they needed help with. Ultimately, Springer says the money went to the community at large, in Bethel or Anchorage or wherever the member lives.
It does have a lot of economic impact because we were, you know, sending checks to landlords. We were paying electric bills and water and sewer bills and fuel bills. And so that money really went directly into the economy.
Some tribes aim to improve food security by providing freezers or ammunition and boat fuel to help tribal members hunt. Teresa Jacobson runs the Alaska Tribal Administrators Association. She says several tribes spent money to fix up old houses or community buildings to serve as quarantine facilities so that anyone coming into the village could isolate for 2 weeks.
From what I've seen, it's worked very well. And for those tribes that are doing that, I have one in particular that comes to mind, not one case of COVID since the pandemic started.
Congress later extended the CARES Act spending deadline until the end of this year. It gave tribal administrators time to catch their breath. Now they are getting ready for an even bigger pile of money from this year's COVID relief bill, the American Rescue Plan. For comparison, the CARES Act nationally had an $8 billion fund for tribal governments. The American Rescue Plan has $20 billion. The first billion will be divided equally among all the tribes. That comes to $1.7 million apiece. That alone will be more than most Alaska tribes got from the CARES Act. The Treasury Department hasn't announced how it will distribute the rest of the tribal government money in the American Rescue Plan. One proposal is to give each tribe another $10 million. And still, there would be billions left to distribute. Richard Peterson says he's ready. He's president of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes.
I would say the CARES Act has kept me up at night, so I'm kind of used to it now.
His government got $20 million in CARES Act funding, more than any other Alaska tribe. Most of it was distributed to the households of its 32,000 members, about a third of whom live in Southeast Alaska. For instance, the tribe sent up to $500 per child to help parents with the expenses of pandemic homeschooling, like new laptops and broadband. With the American Rescue Plan, Central Council might get two or three times as much as it got from the CARES Act. But this time, the allowable uses are broader, and the spending deadline isn't until the end of 2024. Peterson says he's grateful to have more time to strategize for economic development and recovery.
So one, I want to honor, you know, the intent in which it was issued. I also want to make sure that we're doing the best by our citizens, you know. So, yeah, it all keeps me up at night.
Peterson says he's confident because Central Council has a solid record of service delivery. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence is in the midst of hosting its annual Soup Off event. As with many things these days, though, due to the pandemic, the event looks far different than previous years. USAFE Director Emlyn Crane says whereas the community would normally gather together in Unalaska's high school gym to taste one another's recipes, this year, Unalaskans are invited to submit soup recipes virtually.
This year, there's a soup category each week, and people can submit a recipe and, if possible, a picture of the soup to our Instagram page or via Facebook message to our Facebook page, or they can email it to me, and then it'll be posted on our Instagram page.
The first week was soup, stews, and chowders, followed by the exotic soup category. The third week was vegetarian, then seafood. And this week, which is the final week of the event, is the chili category. Crane says contestants have until this Sunday to submit recipes via Instagram, Facebook, or email. Submissions will be judged based on the number of likes and reviews they receive after they are posted to the nonprofit's Instagram page. There will be a winner for each category announced later this month, and people can vote or leave reviews up until the 19th. Meanwhile, while Crane says she isn't certain when they will be able to hold their next in-person event, she says USAFE is continuing to offer resources to those in need, and she encourages people to reach out.
We've been lucky that we haven't seen the kind of explosion in demand that a lot of shelter programs have seen, but we do know that domestic violence and child abuse exist and occur all the time. They have increased during the pandemic. We know that for a fact. So we just want to continue to be an available resource for people.
For more information about USAFE services or events like the Soup Off, call 581-1500. That number is 581-1500. And April is National Poetry Month. Stay tuned after the newscast and throughout the day to hear Unalaskans reading some of their favorite poetry. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.